Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Now you're doing
I'm
it again.
Singing.
Doesn't matter.
Tom Jones cover. It's burning down the house.
If you bring
in
Tom Jones into this studio, expect me not to get angry.
Right.
You don't like Tom Jones?
I think he's probably the worst living Briton. No, Cliff Richard, second worst living Briton.
I was about to say, you're forgetting all about Cliffy.
I think he's the worst.
Here's my...
Piers?
I don't think Piers Morgan's anywhere near the capable of the evil that Tom Jones is. You're living in a completely different category.
Don't say that after Wales' big win. Anyway, look, quick Tom Jones impression before we start, okay? Here we go.
Oh.
Right.
I knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Still good, isn't it? Yeah, here we go. Bang a drum for the losers and those who win, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Gareth Bale was superb and Italy are out. It's Friday 25th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Hello, everybody. It's Friday. We've all got that feeling. Luke Moore, I haven't podded with you for a while.
It's good to be on the pod.
Hey,
podding with you.
The banter brothers are back.
Why does he always do this? Why must he always do this?
Fish, are you in the family?
No, you can't be a brother because he is a man of noble... you know, no, noble beginnings, isn't it?
Aren't Lord we Banter. All in a way?
Lord, Lord Banter again.
Were you anointed? Were you anointed? Or was it like Digital Caesar? Did you buy a house that you were then given the title?
Fish, what I will say is this. We can't go into your nickname for sponsorship reasons. So don't come talking to me about Lord Banter.
I know this, though. I've got. It's almost sponsorship, you know, diplomatic immunity. Sponsorship
your nickname
immunity.
Was the cause of a note in the production meeting that we can't talk about. So don't talk to me about nicknames.
I didn't give it myself.
No one gives I gave myself Lord Banter, did
yeah.
I? Fucking hell, Skeller.
When you called me up in the summer of 2020, he's like, look, we want you to come on board. You have to refer to me as this. I've saved it in my phone and everything.
Hello, is that Fish? Yeah. It's Lord Banter.
Oi, I just said we're the Banter brothers, all right? Why can't I be a part of the family?
You're the Banter only child.
Get me involved.
We're at best cousins.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. How about that, eh? Well, everybody.
Speaking of Banter.
I tell you what, Italy are out.
They are.
Italy are bloody out, North Macedonia, with a magnificent smash and grab job. I mean, that
the
is...
the best.
It's up there. I'd said to you, it's nearly Portsmouth, Old Trafford, 2008 quarter-final of the FA Cup.
There fewer fouls in this one, though, weren't there?
Fewer fouls. There are actually fewer chances.
We battered them. Man United were lucky to get nil that day. No, it was a real... I mean, the best way of assessing how surprising and shocking it was as a football moment was... You see the goal.
Yeah.
The narrative that football does so well around the goal scorer as well. He used to play for Palermo, scored an important goal against Italy in the past, etc., etc. Because obviously the game was being held in Palermo.
Yeah.
But the Macedonia celebrated as you'd expect them to.
Oh, yeah. It's brilliant.
They very much celebrated like, you know, Arsenal beating Aston Villa at home, for example.
Yeah.
I'm only joking.
Or Italy winning the Euros.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Italy were looking around like, well, that's not happened.
Yeah.
That cannot have happened.
No.
So we don't quite know what's happening. It was more of a confusion, which I really liked.
They were like, well, you're not going to count that.
Yeah.
Surely. It's like done nothing.
92nd minute.
Yeah, we're the European champions. Yeah.
It's like when you're at the beach and a seagull comes down and nicks something out of your hand. You're like, sorry, what?
Yeah.
It's my phone.
What's
he doing? What are they going to do with my phone?
Well, you're not going to beat Portugal, lads. You might as well stop celebrating.
Imagine Roberto Mancini, the post-match, went, well, they ain't going to make the most of that. You're the losers here.
Wasted on them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But it was absolutely extraordinary. Trakowski, of course, in the 92nd minute with the goal, and as you alluded to earlier, Luke, scored the equaliser to stop Italy qualifying for the World Cup in 2018.
That was automatic, wasn't it?
Yes.
Automatic qualification. Yes, of course, we should say, yeah.
And
I mean, just remarkable.
Italy have obviously had a great line in just dominating games, having loads of chances and not making it count. I mean, the two missed penalties against Switzerland, it's been talked about.
Jorginho said that they will haunt him for the rest of his life.
One was saved by Jan Sommer, who's the most underrated keeper in the world. And didn't he sky the other one? I think
he did sky the other one. Oh, yeah. Sommer's save, actually, it was absolutely brilliant because of what Jorginho does with his penalties, which are usually effective.
He didn't
need
what Pickford did in the shootout.
Well, no, because I think it was his first penalties for Italy since the Euros final, wasn't it?
Right.
Right, okay.
Okay, and so the way Sommer kind of shifted his body weight, obviously to think I'm going that way, but he did it in a way where he could spring off and go the other side and he mugged Jorginho off.
Ever since he's come to our attention, Jan Sommer, I mean, look, I'm not being disrespectful to the club he plays for, but I cannot believe he's not at a really, really, really big club.
Yeah.
He's an incredible goalkeeper. Anyway, that's a bit of a digression. So Italy have had these chances, they've had the opportunity, and they've obviously not taken it over and over again, and now they're out. It's an incredible situation to think that you've gone... not qualifying for two World Cups in a row, but in the middle of that, you've won the Euros.
I know.
Which is arguably a more higher standard.
And they were brilliant in the Euros as well.
I mean, just the Euros. They've been brilliant for the last 3 years. This is only the second game they've lost in 3 years.
Yeah.
The other one being to Spain.
Wow.
Well, they haven't lost. They just don't lose qualifiers at home. I mean, it's been 60 years of qualification, I think, or something like that.
Right.
This is such a rare result.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they didn't qualify for 2018, as we said. But to lose a home qualifier as well is even rarer than Italy actually not qualifying for a World Cup. You know, that is how unbelievable this is. One could argue it's the greatest result in North Macedonia's history.
You say that, but North Macedonia, last year, beat Germany?
Mm.
They did, but I think this...
This because of the proximity it is to the World Cup.
Yeah, well, obviously they've now got to go on and beat Portugal, but my goodness. I mean, Italy, you know, by 2026, here's another stat for you, it'll be 20 years since they last played a World Cup knockout game, which of course was the final in 2006. Obviously they won. We were talking about this is a country that won the World Cup in fairly recent memory. And as you say, the European champions, it just doesn't make any sense. It's international football, everybody. You just can't take your eyes off it.
If someone offered me that as an England fan, I would shake their hand.
Yeah, but okay, so there was a lot of this silly rhetoric on Twitter last night. People going...
Leave me out. Don't look at me, Vish. You said it.
No.
But there's a lot of this idea that some FIFA knobhead in a suit turns up and goes, right, okay... here's your options.
No, I know it's not real.
Yeah, well,
I know it's not fucking...
It's a thought experiment,
you
know. Isn't it?
But it's pointless, though, because, right, they will have celebrated wildly, as they should have done when they won the Euros. Today, they'll be really pissed off because they haven't gone...
Yeah. I like the up and down. I want that.
It's not how you look at it.
I want the peaks and the troughs. I want to feel really low and then really high.
Yeah, well, you did in the summer.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's true.
For a bit.
But it was sad, wasn't it?
And you might well do in Qatar, as Italy won't get the chance, so we're the real winners.
Marcus, aren't we, actually?
Marcus, you're right about the kind of ups and downs of international football, because if you're prepared to overlook the absolutely astonishingly poor play occasionally, you can get some amazing moments like that.
Well, I mean, it's like the Premier League.
But yeah, I mean, one thing that kind of is interesting is the way that the Italian coaching staff dress.
Yeah, wearing gloves.
Because if you dress like that and you win the Euros, people are like, fucking legend.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
God level, God tier kind of touchline attire. If you dress like that when you get knocked out by North Macedonia at home, you look like a jilted
80s
husband.
On a mild night as well. What are you wearing gloves for?
Yeah, it was 11 degrees.
Yes.
Listen, mate, if it's double figures in the morning when I leave the house, I don't wear a coat.
Yeah, exactly.
So I get it.
Gloves.
Yeah, I'm...
Yeah, we don't know the wind chill factor.
Well, no wonder they've gone out then.
Yeah.
If that's the example they've been
shown. If they can't even be bothered to research the wind chill factor, there's no chance they're going to have the detail.
Look up AccuWeather. Don't worry about your 433. What's AccuWeather saying?
Well, I'm a dark sky man, first and foremost. So.
You are a dark man, yeah.
I never saw Terry Butcher wearing gloves when he was a manager. That's all I'll say.
When was the last time gloves scored a goal?
Roberto Mancini, reticent on his future after the game, as you'd imagine. I mean, the rhetoric, Vish, from Mancini was, we're going to go to, well, obviously...
we're going to go to Qatar.
Yeah, yeah. No, whether you like it or not. No, and we'll wear our gloves. Obviously, the aim is to qualify. And hopefully, once they've qualified, we'll be challenging. Because, of course, they will be challenging. You know, European champions, you go into that tournament thinking, we've got a chance. They're not there.
Yeah, I know. And on Mancini as well, it'll be fascinating to see what they do with him, because it feels like he's been so integral to all the good things they've done over the last few years. You don't really want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, do you?
Well, that's, yeah.
And is Mancini the baby in this? Because
Or is he the bathwater?
No, you want to throw the bathwater out. You want to keep the baby.
The gloves are the bathwater.
No.
Mancini's the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I just switched off like 5 seconds. Came back and I don't know where I am.
And North Macedonia, the person throwing them out.
they're throwing out the window.
The players have got effusive in their kind of defence of him.
But what I mean is...
He's contracted till 2026, right?
But it might be an emotional thing. I mean, he said yesterday he's gonna think about it. But it might be for him, he thinks, right, I've won the Euros with them. Mm. We haven't qualified for the World Cup. That's on me as well. Mm-hmm. Do I step away and let someone come in and take them to the next level?
I'd be surprised if he did that personally.
Yeah, I don't think he should. I'm just speaking on what he said last night right after the event. And also, I assume, you know, as Luke said, the players are fully behind him. It is only last year. You know, I suppose in a normal circumstance, that Euros win would be 2 years ago. And it might be a little bit further from the memory.
Yes.
But you think keeping him in place and just maintaining that momentum they have, even if it has had this real drastic moment of hardship, I suppose, then like it feels like he should stay in place.
They do have the finalissima to look forward to at Wembley against Argentina. You know, you've got to win a trophy to get into that game, and also the UEFA Nations League, where they'll be back at Wembley in front of no fans.
Oh mate, they'll be feeling chipper this morning.
Something, I think, you
bit
know
of perspective, isn't it?
That's something to hold on to as an England fan. I know I've grasped at many straws, like, still holding tightly to Le Tournoi.
It's like learning that you've lost out on £1 million and then finding 10 pence on the way into work.
Really? You've scaled it up a lot from losing a fiver to 5 pence.
To the job that you wouldn't have had to do had you kept that million.
And suddenly realising that Freddo's a 25p and not 10p anymore as well.
It's finding a quid, but it's an old quid, so you've got to go to a bank and change it.
And then you realise the deadline's passed and they won't even take it anyway. Yeah. So the only use it's got is to get a trolley at Sainsbury's.
Or throw it at a pigeon.
What?
That's harsh.
Yeah. But there's nothing, I don't think, and it might be because we're of a slightly older generation, but I don't think, because of the seismic nature of them, because how infrequently it comes around, if you're a top player playing for a big country, I don't think there's much more disappointing than missing out entirely in a World Cup.
Because the
festival of football that it is, the party that it is, even if you got in the group stage, you have a poor return, you're still there.
You're in
the training camp, you're doing all that kind of stuff.
You remember the build-up.
That's what it's all about,
and
right?
And the fanfare and so on.
So you miss out on all that. So basically, regardless of what you're rather cheekily saying, Mark, because if you don't mind me saying, it's quite a minority opinion.
Which is?
The Nations League being something for them to hold on to.
Well, we'll see come the summer, won't we?
We will. Yeah. They are going to have to spend the next however long, basically the rest of this calendar year, pissed off.
Yeah. Well, there we are. At least they'll have, they can just stay at home for Christmas then. Yeah.
Well, speaking to people who were in Italy during those World Cups, they said it was as if it wasn't happening. They just totally ignored it, almost to deal with it emotionally.
Well, I think as well that something a very much a consolation for Roberto Mancini was someone immediately went up to him and said, "Well, you won't have to share a country now with Richard Keys."
So, true.
You know, jobs are good.
That's a bigger silver lining than the Nations League.
More so, actually. I would.
He doesn't need to wear gloves, does he?
No, absolutely not. He's always wearing them. He's very much always
not in those hot climates. Yeah. Gentlemen, we've got to get to Wales for crying out loud!
If Welsh people are still listening,
yeah, DJ. Should we open with Wales and Italy? You know, the European champions going out. We had to mention that. But Wales beat Austria 2-1 to progress to the final of their playoff branch, if you like.
I like that.
Okay, there's three branches in this, but they're one win away from ending their 64-year wait for a World Cup appearance. And take note, Italy, you know, you think about it, when Liverpool, you know, in 1990 or whenever it was, they last won, they didn't think they'd go 30 years, did they? Manchester United, having a bit of trouble. Will Italy go that
long? United will be lucky if it'd be 30 years. I'd bite your hand off for 30 years right now.
When you mentioned the Portsmouth game, I was like, I'd take that. Semi-final, I'd love that.
Quarter game is a quarter-final, actually. You know, what's a stage among friends? But Wales, yes. I mean, Gareth Bale stole the show. Doubts over his fitness were soon put to bed. A peach of a free kick. The keeper seemed a bit confused by the dip on the ball, Vish. I thought the keeper once... I mean, it's easy to say this, of course, when Gareth Bale smashes it in like that, and did it sort of kiss the bar a little?
It did.
Gentle.
You could only see it from one angle, which was behind him, but a bit more over his shoulder.
It was a very tender kiss, certainly.
Yeah.
Oh, if Jamie Redknapp was punished, he would have said, "Oh, the crossbar literally gave the ball a haircut."
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But the goalkeeper, I know this sounds ridiculous taken away from it, but the goalkeeper for me was like over that side. But then I suppose it shows you the quality of the hit and the dip.
Yeah, I imagine with that arc of the ball from the angle that the keeper would have viewed it at, it would have been quite confusing.
It would have been.
And you think, is that's over the bar?
But you know,
is it wide? It's not.
There was such an inevitability when Bale stepped up for that free kick. Mm-hmm. With the crowd, you know, Wales were on the front foot, as you'd expect. The crowd were in good voice. And he steps up. And it's one of those things where you're looking at this thinking, if he smashes this in, it's just perfect. The scene is set. Bang, in it goes, and off go the celebrations.
Well, you know, a lot of the lead up into this game was about how little he's played for Real Madrid, and the offshoot of that being that he's had to do a lot of his own conditioning and technical and fitness work on his own.
Well, he says 77 minutes of competitive football since November.
Yeah, right. And often when people talk about that, you always know that it's never quite match fitness, because you can't really replicate the intensity of playing matches on your own. Essentially, he's been training on his own. But he must be doing something out of this world, because it's one thing to last as long as he did yesterday when you play so rarely, but you still have to fine-tune the technical elements, which is like, such as taking a free kick like that in a pressurized situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the way he took his second goal, moving the ball across, quick touch, finish into the far corner, He was so on it, and it was so good to see. You know, I think there were a few people saying yesterday he might be the first player in a while to have essentially retired from club football, not through his own choice, to prolong his international career. Because it feels like that's what we're watching now.
Michael Owen?
Michael Owen-esque, I would say, but and some. But yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Bale, Luke, to have that level of fitness, especially he's 32, he's 33 in the summer, is quite impressive.
Yeah.
But it does also help having Dan James playing up front with him, who can also stretch the defence and you know, with well, his youth and his speed and exuberance.
It was obvious that Austria were terrified of James's pace.
Yeah.
So I mean, if Daniel James had, I don't know, for example, the talent that Bale's got, I mean, he'd be completely unstoppable, like totally unstoppable. you'd be talking about him genuinely being like a new Ryan Giggs.
Yeah.
But he hasn't got that, sadly. He's very, very, very. He's a very blunt weapon in the way, James.
Yeah, I mean, he might have scored himself a couple of efforts.
He should have. Wales should have been out of sight. There are so many chances. And Austria had already decided that they had to worry about the ingenuity of Bale and the X factor of Bale, the quality of Ramsey, the pace of James. They already seemed like football was happening to them, Austria. Austria should be better for the players they've got.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't have been in this game. I mean, Wales should have been out of sight. It shouldn't have been a nervy last half an hour, really.
They could have given certainly Joe Rodden at the back a little bit more of an easier time.
Well,
about
that, Ben, they ought to put their bodies on the line, really.
But they were superb defensively.
It seems to be the Welsh way. But on the Gareth Bale thing, I'm not kind of... Look, I think I love international football for all the reasons I've talked about millions of times, and Marcus is the same, and I'm sure you are, Vish. But the situation with international football is, for a lot of perfectly legitimate reasons, the standard isn't as high, right? Mm-hmm. So Bale, who's someone of amazing experience and is very canny and has got a lot of talent, he can get through a quite competitive international game in a way that I don't think it's reasonable. I don't think you guys should. I don't think it's reasonable to suggest that Gareth Bale could have come in, having had as little football as he's had, and done that in a Champions League semi-final, for example. Mm. Because the standard is just so much higher. Mm-hmm. And you can see that when you're watching games one after the other. You can see the pace and the intensity of a Champions League game at the latter stages. So why am I saying that? Well, the reason I'm saying that is because if he's got players around him against a team like Austria who are really underperforming and aren't that great, he can get away with it. And the free kick thing, Gareth Bale will be able to take free kicks like that when he's 50. Mm. It's metronomic. He can still do it. He could always do it. In many ways, that's what he's on the pitch for.
What did you make of his... Because he reacted to some of the media attention and some of the headlines that have been written in Spain, saying, I don't need to send a message. It's a waste of my time. It's disgusting and they should be ashamed of themselves. And when you look at that, you think, oh, it's quite strong words. And then actually you read that Marker led with an article with the headline, Gareth Bale, the Welsh parasite.
Yeah.
And you think, yeah, well done, Gareth. You
know, because that's too far.
That is genuinely disgraceful to put something like that.
I think it depends what you think is reasonable in the kind of discourse, right? So is it legitimate for like sports-led papers or Real Madridian papers to criticise Gareth Bale? Obviously it is.
Yes.
Is it fine for the fans to do that? Of course it is.
That type of language?
No. I think it's acceptable. It's a very complicated relationship they seem to have. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know who it's benefiting. I know that people who don't watch a lot of Spanish football, like I don't really these days, will have quite a shallow understanding of it. And I'm happy to accept that. But it's hard to see from the outside looking in who benefits this kind of relationship. Because he's not playing. Obviously, it benefits Bale on one level because he gets paid a shitload of fucking money.
Yeah, exactly.
But other than that, who's going to benefit? He's obviously made more money than he's ever going to spend, Bale, right? So you wonder whether I thought him moving to Spurs on loan would be a way to kind of prolong his career a bit.
Well, it'd be fascinating to see where he goes after the Real Madrid contract finishes. Vish, talk about Wales a bit, because since qualification for Euro 2016, they've just been a different beast. You remember Wales from years ago? They were sort of, at times they had moments where you think, oh, they're going to qualify. I mean, qualification for World Cup 2014, I think they finished fifth out of six, if my memory serves me well. I think they were in Scotland. Yeah, they were nowhere, basically, in terms of qualifying. And then that qualification campaign for Euro 2016, obviously we remember what happened in the tournament. It was incredible stuff. But since then, despite not qualifying for the World Cup, they've been brilliant. And at home, they're scintillating at times.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at their squad now, you'd see the number of players who are playing not just regular first team football, but are regarded as important players within that setup.
The great crop they've got at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And someone like Harry Wilson is an interesting one because he's doing wonderful things in the Championship, but he's also someone who he's been a Welsh starter for a few years now. He's been someone who they've really tried to promote. And I wonder how much of that, the trickle-down effect from not feeling like you're just there for a good time, but actually feeling like you deserve to be there, is manifesting itself in these younger players. Mm-hmm. Even someone like, on the different side of the scale, someone like Ben Davies, who through a new role at Spurs has adopted that new role at Wales as well as a kind of left-sided centre-back and is clearly embracing that. And I also think there'd be other times where, and maybe we can, you know, there's sometimes there can be lazy punditry around Wales because of how high profile Bale is, mm-hmm. because of how high profile Ramsey is.
Yeah.
But now we're at a stage where those two are nearing, you know, at the end of their career, and everyone else is coming to the fore now. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see. And I also think the, you know, they've got one more stage to get through here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll find out soon enough who they play. But it feels like there's something sustained there, and it feels like it's something from the bottom up as well, rather than just working out at the top and hoping everything else sorts Absolutely. Itself out below.
This is a generational team for Wales, and it's obviously become, obviously, you know, them getting to the semi-final of the Euros is amazing. But it's much easier to qualify for the Euros now, as we know. For them to really leave their mark, they need to qualify for a World Cup.
They do, yeah. You know, you're absolutely right. And they're making the most of it, you could argue, this generational talent. And Rob Page, my goodness, what credit he takes as well, just seems to make good decision after good decision and get that group going as well. Of course, we don't know who they're playing because, you know, Scotland played Poland friendly rather than playing Ukraine, as we all know the situation there. We do know, as we mentioned earlier, that North Macedonia will play Portugal, who beat Turkey 3-1. They were straight out of the traps, Portugal. Unlike Fernando Santos' side, you know, they look quite exciting and quite attack-minded, but they got lucky, didn't they? Because Turkey, they got it back to 2-1, and then Yilmaz, who scored the goal, had a penalty and skied it in the 85th minute at 2-1, could have equalised, and announced his retirement from international football after the game. That's gutting.
Speaking about not taking the time to compose your thoughts before you... I mean, Mancini didn't do that, and Yilmaz has gone mad.
Oh.
But, I mean, he's had an amazing career, right?
He's been around for a long time. Oh, what a great
But shame. I think it was a shame, because I'll be perfectly honest, I'd like North Macedonia to beat Portugal. Mm. I'd quite like Turkey to beat Portugal, because I would have thought it would be quite entertaining. Mm. And Portugal didn't... You could see at that point in the game, Portugal did not want extra time.
They were panicking like hell. Yeah.
They definitely didn't. We should also mention Sweden beating Czech Republic, of course, after extra time. Lovely little winner. Lovely little... It was a little give and go.
It was a nice goal. It was a really nice goal.
Delicious. Elsewhere, quickly, just before we go for a break, around the globe, Japan sealed World Cup qualification with a win over a very poor Australia side in Sydney. I mean, Australia, concerning. They're going to struggle to qualify.
Well, they normally always qualify, don't they?
They do, absolutely. Yeah. They've been at the last four World Cups, but they look terrible at the moment. They'll have to face whoever finishes third in the other group in the Asian qualifying, and then beat fifth place team.
Easy for you to say, Mark.
Well, it's difficult for them to beat.
From South America.
From South America, exactly. So they really don't look great at the moment. And so, but Japan are through, Saudi Arabia are through. Doesn't surprise anyone, does it, Vish? They've got big Harvey Renard.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising that he's A, there, and B, that they've qualified. And those are two separate things, I think.
I don't like the pause when they ask you a question about Harvey Renard. You should always be prepared for him to come out at some point. Mm-hmm. You should have a stock answer in your mind for that.
Yeah.
It's just the...
Even if it's just shut up, Marcus.
Thinking of him in the white shirt.
You just thought of him and you
and
had
rather
to...
than a still photo, it's the breeze that catches a bit of the shirt. And he's not done up all the buttons,
has
he?
No, of course. Well, we want him to. Yeah. I never want him to do even just one button. But I suppose, you know, leave something to the mind.
And you're including the Gene Fly button, aren't you?
And that will be a button zip, yeah.
on the old Australia playing the fifth placer.
Yeah, yeah. But if they get there.
Yeah, if they do. That could be, I think that's probably going to be Peru.
It could all...
Australia v Peru. It's a great fixture.
That's a nice little fixture, actually.
That's like random on FIFA. Yeah, when do these teams play?
No, it's quite good, because Peru are currently fifth in qualifying. Colombia and Chile are struggling themselves.
So Peru are at home to Paraguay in their final game, I believe.
Yeah.
Which means they've got every chance. They can't get into the top four now. But
no, top four
chance.
Is sealed. So obviously Brazil, who've qualified very handsomely, Argentina. Ecuador and Uruguay are there. We expect Uruguay, but Ecuador... joining in, that's quite nice, isn't it? Guinea pig all round. Peru, Colombia and Chile, I believe, are still in it, unless I've done my calculations wrong. So, all to play for.
All to play for, indeed.
All to play for, as it always is with World Cup qualification, everybody. Unless, of course, you're Brazil or England.
Or Italy.
Or Italy, you've got nothing to play for. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome to Eureka, the show that gets under the skin of science, in a good way. I'm Rick Edwards.
And I'm Dr. Michael Brooks.
Not the kind of doctor who'd be able to help much if you were having like a heart attack. But if you're wondering about quantum physics or the theory of matter, he's your man.
Well, probably.
Every week we're asking a new, puzzling question from the world of science and discovering the answer with the help of a world-leading expert.
Like, will we ever talk to animals?
They are definitely talking. You know, that's, again, a word that I would qualify because we usually mean that vocally. But in their own ways, they're talking to us every single day.
Are face transplants the future of cosmetic surgery?
Given that range of what's considered attractive, there's probably no point wanting to change your face to be more attractive if you follow science. And should we fear an alien invasion?
If an imperialistic drive brings other civilizations to us, then obviously it's not good news. But if it's scientific exploration, it may be good news.
If you're interested in learning a little bit more about the weird, magnificent world around us, then this is the show for you. Eureka. Subscribe now and find us on Twitter at EurekaPod. New episodes every Wednesday.
Eureka is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe, and this is the Football Ramble.
Wow, there he is. Mate. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. It's time for those emails.
Peter's jingle had a good run. We loved it once, but that love's gone. You can get in touch, just email show at footballramble.com.
An email from Jared, spelled J-A-R-R-Y-D. I think he's an Aussie. Discuss, does Andy now have to go completely bald to complete his international football prediction fraudness? Yilmaz retired after yesterday's game. I think Andy should have retired after yesterday's game.
No. We'll be absolutely fucked.
We'll be out on our end, won't we? Yeah.
I think the problem with Andy is that he doesn't get stuff wrong often enough. Mm. When you get it wrong often enough, yeah, people just tend to accept it.
Well, yeah.
With Andy, he's always so good that when he gets one wrong, it really stands out.
The thing is, though, with the whole Turkey at the Euros thing, his dark horse prediction wasn't actually Turkey when he put pen to paper. It was, I think, it was Czech Republic. who had a pretty good tournament.
He's playing both sides, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, he threw everybody a curveball, so some idiots, like I believe yourselves, went for Turkey as the dark
horse. I didn't.
Oh, you did, didn't you, Fish?
Yeah. No, I went for England.
Shut up.
You went for Turkey, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
And Andy was laughing all the way to the finals.
Well, he was playing both sides yesterday because he's a big Portugal fan as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's laughing.
That's only because Cristiano Ronaldo once threw his microphone into the river. That's the only reason he likes
it. It wasn't Andy's microphone.
Andy start the rumour. Yeah. Start the rumour.
Andy wouldn't do
that. Do you remember when Ronaldo threw Andy into a river?
Yeah. Andy had a wrestle with Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, I remember it. I remember it fondly.
We have another email here from Michael, who wants to turn our attention to the 10th tier side and world's second oldest football club, Hallam FC. The first oldest football club are Sheffield FC.
Apparently.
A few years beforehand. Mm. Hallam, I think, might have the oldest ground, but they're the second oldest
club.
They'll
be up in Sheffield, Hallam, won't they?
I think so, yeah, as Michael says. They gave their man of the match a four-pack of Red Stripe from the off-license as a prize, and he's attached a photo. It doesn't look like... I mean, the photo doesn't look anything to do with a football club.
No.
It just looks like one man handing another man a four-pack.
Yeah.
With a jacket on. So great, good stuff.
Have you got space in the fridge? Yeah, I'll take that, don't worry about it.
Yeah. And I should also actually add to that email, I should follow up, that it is non-league day tomorrow, which returns for the first time since 2019, so 3 years, because of all the COVID stuff that's going on. And it's an amazing time to sponsor your to attend, support.
Well, if you can, to go as well.
If you can, yeah. Your local club. I would have been going to Peckham Town because that's my local team, but they're away from home, so I won't go to. Dulwich Hamlet are at home. They're another local team to me, but they are so busy all the time, particularly international breaks. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to get tickets. So they're doing very well.
Dim sum there as well.
That's what people say, isn't it? It's fashionable now. But my point being, Vish, that Dulwich Hamlet are doing very well as a non-league club, and good to them. Good for them. Good luck to them. Lots of non-league clubs aren't doing as well as they should be doing, so we should all support them where we can. So non-league day tomorrow. If you've got nothing on, get yourself down to your local club. It's normally really cheap and a really good day out.
Absolutely. Let us know how you got on. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. I'd like to move us on to Jermaine Defoe, who has announced his immediate retirement from football at the age of 39. 23 years after his professional debut in 1999. What a career he's had.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He, of course, rejoined Sunderland on transfer deadline day, but he sort of struggled to make an impact, which is understandable. He made a hell of an impact last time he was there. But an amazing career. I mean, we thought he was nearing the end of his career when he joined Toronto in about 2014.
Yeah.
And it's now 2022, Vish. But what a man.
Yeah, what a man. He was the player I think I've... I mean, there'll be a few players like this now, but I think I've spanned his entire playing career in terms of knowing... You know, hearing about this young kid coming through at West Ham who was supposed to be the business and seeing him flourish into this striker. And I suppose seeing him play different roles as well, because he basically grew up in an era where you would have two strikers.
Yeah.
He would have had someone a little bit taller dropping off as well for him to do the... Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that Spurs foursome of... what was it? Crouch, Berbatov... No, it was Berbatov, Keane... Defoe, and I think Pavlyuchenko.
Yeah, around that time.
Wasn't it? Yeah. But, you know, having him dovetail with any of those three, it felt like he grew into being a bit more of a lone front man because he spanned eras a bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
But also the way he emerged as, you know, for a two-year period, he was England's, you know, key striker, I'd say, especially at the back of Owen's career.
Yeah.
And yeah, just a natural finisher, someone who got better at, I suppose, the craftier stuff as he got older, as I suppose his pace diminished a little bit. But, you know, Ian Wright tells a great story about him, about when Wright was at West Ham at the end of his career and, you know, teaching him about the fundamentals of being a forward. And it's quite sad, but also, like, you know, you read the numbers and you're like, okay, well, you've had a hell of a career.
Well, yeah, he has ninth all-time top scorer in Premier League history, 162 goals. Decent time of it for England, actually. Sometimes that's overlooked, with 20 goals and 57 England appearances. I mean, perhaps the highlight for him with England was the 1-0 win over Slovenia at World Cup 2010. Now, I know that sounds, you know, England...
It's the only goal he scored at a big tournament, probably.
Yeah, but he led the line and he scored the goal that day, which was crucial for England advancing. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been thumped by Germany, you know, 4-1.
Cheers, Jermaine.
But for him, though, I'm looking at him, not looking at the side and the overall campaign. For him, you know, that's a big moment, scoring a winning goal in a World Cup match. So.
Definitely. He's part, as Vish has already said, he's part of the Premier League. He was part of the Premier League furniture. He's had a big impact on the Premier League. Obviously played for my club for a bit. Had a bit of a weird time of it at Portsmouth, because from memory, he came to Portsmouth in January. think Juan de Ramos, it might have been, sold him to Portsmouth. He stuck around for a year, but was cup tied for the cup, so he couldn't play in the cup final in the games. But Portsmouth won the FA Cup because he'd already played earlier for Spurs. Yeah. Then the following January, I think by that time Redknapp had gone to Spurs, and Redknapp signed him back for Spurs. So he kind of had a year at Portsmouth, but across two seasons. Mm. So you look at his record and you go, oh yeah, well, he only scored X amount of goals. But actually, if you put them all in one season, it's actually a pretty good return for Portsmouth in the Premier League. It was like 14 or 15 Premier League goals or something. So I enjoyed watching him play. He also is a testament to how, you know, looking after yourself can really prolong your career. I believe he's been vegan for a long time, never drunk, he's always kind of lived the life. So good for him. I think Ian Wright mentored him, actually. Ian Wright was like a big mentor for him and a big figure for him. So who thought you could find even more ways that Ian Wright is influencing the game these days? Apparently you can.
Absolutely. Well, Jermaine Defoe, thank you for the memories.
Thank you for that Slovenian memory.
Absolutely, that one in particular. But of course, you see him on the TV nowadays doing a bit of punditry, which is quite nice as well. But one of his former sides, England, is going to be playing on Saturday against Switzerland, of course. England haven't lost to Switzerland since 1981, which is quite a record, because to me, they seem to have played each other quite a lot of time. Obviously, they met in the third place playoff in the 2019 Nations League. Well, who can forget that? I certainly can't. it was a penalty shootout win for England. That's why I'll never forget it. but it'd be interesting to see how England line up. They could have Fraser Forster in goalvish, because he's back.
I mean, he's not playing, is he? He's not.
I wouldn't have thought
so. Has anyone delivered an underwhelming piece of news with more enthusiasm than that?
Yeah.
England have got a new third choice keeper.
Because some of
and
the
it's other... the it's the one they used to have quite a while ago. He's still here.
And 90% of casual fans probably couldn't pick him out of a lineup. Is that harsh?
That's harsh. He's been called up the squad.
He's quite tall, isn't he?
80%.
After Sam Johnson withdrew. That means there's three Southampton players in the squad. So that's quite nice. Representing the South Coast.
Yeah. What do you make of not really sponsored that. What do you make of the Jordan Pickford question? Because I know Ramsdale's injured, right?
Pickford is a different beast playing for England. We've seen that. We've seen disciplined performances from him. He has, you know, he's still Pickford, but we've seen great saves. We've seen much more mature performances and solid performances. And even at the Euros, you know, England were only behind for, you know, a few minutes or whatever it is in the tournament. I understand that the defence plays a part, but even some of the defenders have been questioned. So, I don't know, Southgate seems to get a tune out of him. And I, you know, until his performances for England drop off, I'd be reluctant to put in Ramsdale.
There's been a lot of clamour for Ramsdale.
Understandably so. Mm. Understandably so. I mean, Vish, you're team Ramsdale, aren't you? Well, and I think that's a good option as well. Both have got good distribution.
Yeah,
both are
very,
you know, agile, able keepers. Ramsdale in the league at the moment, on league form, you would probably go with him. But I'm saying also, there is a bit of history and loyalty there to Pickford.
It's not just that. Sorry, Vish, very quickly. It's not just that. It's just how Ramsdale's been able to almost like entirely revolutionise Arsenal's back line.
Yeah.
Because they look so solid now compared to before he kind of settled in. Mm. So that's a big factor as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm of that opinion based on league form, and I totally take what you say about the fact that Pickford, certainly under Southgate, is viewed in a different way and plays in a different way. And I think over the Euros, what we saw with Pickford was maturity. I thought it's the most reliable he's been for a sustained period of time in an England shirt. And obviously it helps when you have those games and that close proximity, so things like building up form, it's a lot easier. And you can, even if it's a temporary character trait, I actually, you know, you really saw him as a leader during that time.
Do you have to turn the rave off, do you think?
I just think he knew that, you know, come the end of July, there'd be plenty of time for raving, wouldn't
there? Exactly.
And there was when he was, you know.
Right. It's lighter in the evening, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Less of a chill factor.
Less of a wind chill. He'll have his gloves on, won't he?
Yeah, there you go. The thing I do think, and this is specific for Pickford rather than for Everton or England. No, I suppose more towards Everton, but he's clearly in a bad place form wise, and I don't think it'd necessarily be a bad thing. Not necessarily if he's dropped for England, but certainly if Southgate takes him to one side and says, "Look, you're my guy. You know you've been underperforming," and not, you know, Southgate's not the rocket up the ass kind of manager, but he could, I suppose, lead him towards, right, you need to sort yourself out there, because he's not going to be dropped for Everton, really. Now, because of the injuries, he's not going to be dropped for England either. But I do feel like that we're at a stage with him where We've seen it with keepers in the past where they might get a little bit too comfortable because they're not challenged enough at club or country.
Yeah.
I think of Paul Robinson in that regard as well.
Well, that's true. But I think the way Southgate has set up the squad is it's almost like have a break from all that crap and just enjoy your football kind of thing.
To
which
a
is
point.
Which is kind of maybe.
He would almost certainly have said to Pickford, you're my keeper. Don't worry about it.
Sure, but I also, but I think there needs to be a bit of a word there.
Well, okay. I'm sure. Yeah. I think we all agree on that. I mean, England have got 6 more games. All in the Nations League after these. 4 in the space of 10 days in June. Very, very busy summer. And then, of course, Italy and Germany in September with no October international break ahead of the World Cup. Now, Southgate said post the summer that England will have to change what they did at the Euros to keep up with the best teams when they go into the World Cup. And Southgate is very acutely aware. He saw France versus Spain in the UEFA Nations League and he was like, yeah. That's the standard, really.
Yeah.
It was a game of immense quality. Spain might have won it, but obviously France did. And so what do England then have to do? What are you looking for England? I mean, it might not be over these two friendlies, Luke, but going forward, if you think about it, that he's played, he likes a back three with England, 3-4-3. They've also played a kind of a 4-3-3 as well. With England's defence at the moment, you could be forgiven for being a little bit worried. I personally want to see... I'd quite like to see a little bit more of maybe Jude Bellingham in there.
Yeah, I think Bellingham will probably start, won't he, against Switzerland?
Well, because if you are going to, especially if you're going to play 2 in the centre of a 3-4-3, Rice has improved a lot. Mm. You know, he was great, of course. It is that central midfield place that England have often struggled with.
But it depends. They might play 4 at the back.
Well, they could.
Switzerland, because
yeah, but again, though, in the centre of midfield, that's where I'm looking.
My big fear for England, and it's a long way away, really, the World Cup, in terms of how form can change, how injuries can come into play, how the other games they've got to play ahead of the World Cup, as you've mentioned, Marcus, will be a factor. But England have what I would suggest is a serious problem with defensive personnel. So if he does play against Switzerland, a lot of people are reporting that he's going to play a back four of Shaw, Maguire, Stones and Walker-Peters, right? Walker-Peters put to one side because he's new to the setup and he wants to have a look at him. That's what a friendly's for. He's been in good form, fine. We've already talked about Pickford to death, so we haven't got to do that again. I've got serious worries about Shaw and Maguire. Now Maguire can get away with it and look good at international level because of the reasons we've said earlier. Like the standard's not as high.
Well, Mark Gay might get a run out.
Say again?
Mark Gay may get a run out.
One
of these. But I mean, Tariq Mitchell.
That comes to the point. The point is this: it's a long way away. This World Cup.
Yeah.
In
we'll know more in the Nations League.
But is there any point him playing Mark Gay or playing someone else if he doesn't think they've got an actually realistic chance of getting to the World Cup with England and playing for them? Because he's actually using it as a much more holistic thing where he's saying, okay, I want you as part of the setup. The World Cup may even be too early for you still, but I still want you to be a part of it. You may be in my squad because there might be a couple of injuries.
So with Mitchell, I think that's probably the case. But with Gay, I think, no, here's a player who could challenge.
Yes.
You may disagree with that, but that's what I think.
I mean, to a point, I don't really know which side of the fence I'm on with this, because I think a lot of times managers, when they go into a World Cup, they don't like taking debutants, even if it's someone who has one or two caps behind them.
But you have the Nations League there, where you are going to play top teams in away fixtures as well.
Yeah, sure.
Competitively as well.
Yeah,
but you know, by then we won't have the same number of pullouts, won't we? Because it would be seen as a more serious occasion, as it were, you know, a more competitive game.
Indeed.
The thing I agree with Luke about Shaw and Maguire. I would say, though, that, you know, given who are, you know, who's in this squad, they start for me. The Maguire thing is a worry. And I think, you know, you've said before about, you know, he's never really let England down. I think a lot of that is down to the fact that he plays behind two defensive midfielders with two other centre-backs to his right and left. He also happens to have, you know, Luke Shaw when Luke Shaw's playing well and Kyle Walker when he's, you know, when he's fit and playing well. I don't think you could ask for better central defensive covers.
But
than
he fits
those
into
two.
A system then.
He does. I don't necessarily think that's a system that England need to play going into this World Cup. And I think that's what Southgate needs to work out. Because, you know, Luke, you've said this before, you know, reflecting on the last stage of the Euros, particularly the final, England are a bit too defensive. Mm-hmm. They need to find a way of going at teams because they've got the players to go at teams. They need to embrace that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from not playing a back five. And that's where we might have this issue with Maguire for England.
True. But that's where I think I'd like to see someone like Jude Bellingham in there in the centre of the pitch because he looks all things to all people in there. A bit more front foot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think he's very exciting to play. But we shall see, everybody, of course. England play Switzerland on Saturday. Then, of course, Ivory Coast on Tuesday evening. So we're looking forward to it, Luke Moore.
We are looking forward to it very much. A Saturday tea time treat. Although I'll be at a wedding, so I'll have to watch it on catch-up, sadly. But I'm sure that won't impinge anyone listening's enjoyment of the game. It's time for Betway Sport to Score. Entry to Betway Sport to Score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Now, before I go into this, I've been told because this is a sponsor-mandated segment, I can't talk about my grievances for how badly I was treated last week. Where not both sides of the story were told. So maybe I'll do that on social media for those of you who follow me later.
Please do.
Needless to say, because he can't speak for himself without a microphone, I won't throw the producer under the bus because he won't have a right to reply. But anyway.
Get on with it.
It wasn't my
fault. That was about as long as this started last week.
Game one is Ireland v Belgium. A game we haven't actually covered today, but that's Saturday tea time as well. Marcus, you are up.
It's difficult to know who's going to start for Belgium. They are going to score the first goal. And I think it'll be Dries Mertens.
Dries's pieces.
It's Dries
Mertens. Game number two is the aforementioned England v Switzerland. Vish, you are up for that one.
Similar conundrum. I've decided to go with Philip Foden.
Okay. Yeah.
I think he will start. So that's probably a good selection. Game number three, our friend and colleague Kate has chosen the first goal scorer for Spain versus Albania.
Thanks for giving me the big one here. Spain against Albania. I was tempted by Alvaro Morata, but I think I'm going to go for Ferran Torres. Ferran Torres to score first.
Is she on a private jet?
Yeah, it's weird. A weird background sound. I only like to hear background sounds if they involve Pete Donaldson's dog.
Mm.
But there we go. That's Kate's selection. Thank you very much for that, Kate. And my game is game number four, Netherlands v Denmark. I have gone for Memphis Depay.
So yeah, good one.
In summary, Dries Mertens, Phil Foden, Ferran Torres, Memphis Depay. If they all score first, we will be in for a share of the jackpot, which we'll give to charity. Make sure the selections are submitted before the first game if you want to play. And you must be over the age of 18 to play along and do gamble responsibly. You can play for free at betway.com/4to-score. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. All right, my pen's run out, which is bad news for what's happening now.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked. Right. So I've been given the tools here.
Oh, hello.
Vish's game because it has been a shambles recently and it needs a firm hand at the tiller, at the wheel.
Vish, I also heard that Marcus...
On the trigger.
I also heard that Marcus threatened to leave the Ramble if he wasn't given a chance at my title today.
Is that right?
Pulled rank, he did.
That does sound like him. He's a weasel, isn't he?
I overheard the conversation. He was going, it's international football week. That's my week. I have to have a chance at the title.
It's all very, very true.
Right, you all know the rules, in part because, Luke, you created it, and Marcus, you've far too into it for your own good.
says the man who protests every...
Why rise to it?
No, I know.
Why, you don't need to rise to it.
I have the power now.
You do, yeah.
This is not why I'm fucked, this is why I'm king.
Yeah.
I'll tell you...
Just remember who's got the real power.
Yeah.
Me. I've got the key to your weekend, sir. Yeah.
I am barreling through that window, whether from the outside or the inside.
No, you managed to worm your way to the weekend last week. I've taken precaution this week. Everything's boarded up. You can only go through the gate.
Imagine if you took away my weekend.
Yeah. Right, is that having one?
Right, so this is a title bout.
Ooh.
Luke, you are the champion. You are the... Don't fist bump. You're supposed to be against each other. You're fucking losers.
It's a friendly rivalry.
Yeah.
So
you've
been
lost
ducking...
your last three and we're the losers. I'm the champion here, mate.
No, I lost the manager's one. Oh, who did this old bloke used to stand on the dugout for?
Are you going
to
stand on the dugout? Are you going to start the game or not?
I'm going to start the game. I'm just giving it a build-up.
Oh, okay.
Because it's for two people who find it quite important. Luke, you've been an absentee champion.
This is the central focus point of my life.
Yeah. Right. And you've been ducking and diving. You went on holiday.
I've been putting titles, belts in bins and all sorts.
And And Marcus, yeah, you just always here on a Friday, aren't you? You haven't got nothing better to do than to stop people going into their weekends.
Can we begin?
Don't rise to
it. I know. I just on behalf of everybody listening to this, get on with it.
Right. So Marcus, you go first, okay. Because Luke, you are the champion. That's Marcus, fair. The challenger. Our first player is someone who recently called up to the England squad after a few years out. Probably not years, actually. Uh-huh. A few squads out. Tammy Abraham.
Oh, that's right in Marcus's wheelhouse, that.
Tammy Abraham.
How's that in my wheelhouse?
Tam Canterbury.
England player.
So, you've got five clubs for Tammy Abraham. Can I hear your first bid?
Oh, you twat. Yeah, I am, aren't I? Oh, Tammy!
Five clubs for Tammy Abraham.
This is poor. This is really poor. Can you give us a clue?
No, you can't give
me time. I'm the last person who's going to give you a clue.
Five is surprising. That is a surprising
five
number.
Clubs. This yeah, and so I was wasting time. Just hurry up.
Four.
Oh, I can't do four.
Four out of five is decent.
He's killed me there. He has to name four. I can't.
Name me four.
I don't think he can do four.
I think he can.
Go for it.
One is very much a guess. Roma, Chelsea, Aston Villa. This is the guess. Bristol City.
My days.
Yeah, I've got it.
You've got it.
There you go.
The one you've missed.
Uh-huh. Is an obvious one.
Swansea City.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Bristol City. I'm impressed with that. Came through the ranks at Chelsea. His first loan spell was at Bristol City.
Oh, right.
Then went on loan to Swansea City. Then obviously came back to, well, went on loan to Aston Villa.
There was a more obvious one there.
Came back for Chelsea, and then, yeah, as he is now, with Jose Mourinho at Roma. Well played.
It's a good start, Marcus. Put under pressure there.
1-0, 1-0 to Marcus Feller.
Do you know what? When you get the first one, you think, I've avoided the whitewash.
Yeah, but I've been too love against Marcus and lost before.
So. Well,
yeah.
Then maybe this bodes well for you then.
Cool. I think this might happen again.
It can't.
The next player played for seven clubs.
Okay.
Player I quite like, actually, despite the fact that there's some evidence to the contrary that he shouldn't be likable. David Bentley. Seven clubs for David Bentley. Luke.
Okay.
What are you saying? David Bentley.
I think...
It's a Bentley to me, but to you it's a blue car.
I think I'm fairly confident I can do four.
Four clubs for David Bentley.
Oh, Bentles.
Marcus, what are you saying?
That is frustrating. I'll let Luke do his four.
Woo! Right, four clubs for David Bentley. Go.
That's annoying because I've.
Okay, so I'm fairly certain he's played for Arsenal. He started his career there. He's obviously played for Spurs. I'm 90% sure he played for Blackburn. My brain isn't what it used to be. And now this is where it gets tough because I'm pretty sure he played for a club in Turkey, but I can't remember the name of it. So I'm just going to have a Turkish guess.
Go on.
Do you remember this?
No, there's another. Well, I'll leave it there.
Okay.
I was about to give you a
clue. Actually, do you know what? I'm going to change tack entirely.
Go on.
I would guess a Turkish team, but I've got a very low percentage here. I think instead what I'll do is I'll invoke the Sunderland clause.
Oh, yeah. FC Rostov?
Yes. That's probably what I was thinking of. It's not even in Turkey.
Not even in Turkey. Yeah. So he started at Arsenal.
Had those four.
He actually made one appearance for Arsenal.
Yeah, I think he might have scored in that game.
Maybe he did, actually, yeah.
I'm wondering if he played for West Ham at some point.
On loan to Norwich City, on loan to Blackburn Rovers, made the permanent move to Blackburn Rovers, then went to Spurs, where he scored that brilliant goal against... Alfie Moon, Manuel Almunia. Mm-hmm. Went on loan to Birmingham City from there. On loan to West Ham, made five appearances.
I should have said Birmingham.
On loan to FC Rostov, and then briefly went back to Blackburn.
Yeah.
I should have said Birmingham. I thought Birmingham, and the reason I didn't say it is because I thought I'm getting it mixed up with David Dunn.
David
Blackburn.
Dunn.
Yeah.
Okay.
2-0 to Svella. It's already
it's
on the line.
It's the worst scoreline, though.
Yeah. I need a point. I've got to get a point here.
Well, Marcus, it's you up.
Yeah.
The next player, still playing,
mm-hmm.
five clubs,
mm-hmm.
it's Edinson Cavani.
Edinson, eh? Oh, that's a tricky one.
It's easy.
Ballet's Edinson Cavani.
Mm-hmm.
You've got five clubs. What are you saying?
Yeah, what am I saying? What am I saying?
Gonna have to hurry you.
I'll go four.
Gonna go four out of five.
Yeah.
Luke, you've got to go five, haven't you?
I'll go five then.
Well, I can't do anything.
I'll do all five because I'm gonna go out shooting if I go out.
And I like that. A blaze of glory, okay. Could it be?
I don't think you have the facility for that.
We're about to find out. I'll do them in descending order. I'll start off with the ones I'm most sure about.
Go on.
Okay.
Man United. Atletico Madrid.
Oh, no way did he play for Atletico Madrid.
Hell.
He should have played for Atletico Madrid.
Shit.
We know what that means.
Mate, do you know what? Atletico Madrid went through my head and I thought, oh no, he hasn't, but we always said he should play for Simeone because he loves it.
So I've got Palermo.
No, Napoli.
Napoli.
No.
Oh, he did play for Palermo.
Yeah. So he played for Palermo. So we'll start. We'll go from the start.
Did he play for Nacional?
No, Danubio.
Oh, okay, right.
Nacional Palermo from Palermo went on loan to Napoli and then signed for Napoli full time in 2011. Paris Saint-Germain.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Manchester United.
So poor. I'm gutted about that.
Oh, mate.
Anyway,
at least you. What is it? Harry Luke's game. Harry Carey.
Yeah,
you took yourself out.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to go out on my own terms. I don't want to be the last Civet
soon.
Quite pathetic, though, isn't it?
I got a bit lucky there, but couldn't then that works against Vish the other week.
Yeah. Yes, it did. We might as well go through the next two. The next two are quite good players as well. People playing at home would enjoy it. And also, we'd love to see a whitewash, wouldn't we?
Well, speak for yourself.
Fourth player.
Yeah.
Javier Hernandez, 7 clubs.
Chicharito. I'm first, right? It's Luke first. Yeah.
Luke first, yeah. Fancy yourself as Luke.
Yeah.
It's your name, isn't it?
Okay. So I'll guess at 3.
3 clubs, 3 out of 7. Marcus, what are you saying?
5.
5? Ooh, no, he's gone one above.
No, you can't.
No, you have to do 5. Okay. You have to do 5. You
said it. I can't
do
6. I can't do 6.
You've got to do 5.
You made your bid. You can't do that in an auction. You can't go, no, a million. No, a tenner.
Yeah. I was actually going to increase it by 1, but there we are.
That's all right.
New Bellend.
Manchester United. West Ham. Bayer Leverkusen. Real Madrid. Chivas Guadalajara.
Showing off. No,
yeah, LA Galaxy would have been the 6th.
Oh, what can I do with that? What can I do with that?
Wonderful. Didn't even have to do it.
Who was the 7th?
The 7th was Sevilla.
Oh, what a lovely old job that is.
Lovely stuff. Final player. Still going, still banging them in. Perhaps one of the most underrated strikers in Europe.
Uh-huh.
Edin Dzeko.
Edin Dzeko,
Marcus, what are you saying? 7 clubs.
Jexy.
He's bringing Jexy back.
Yeah. Ah. 4. Oh,
4 out of 7.
I can definitely do 4.
Ooh,
look,
4
in the spirit.
Come on.
In the spirit of this, I'm going to go 5.
Cool. 5.
Go on,
5.
Do your 5.
On. Okay.
Come on, big boy.
Roma. City.
Oh, sorry. Hey, Bun missed.
To be fair, he didn't specify
Man
which city.
Yeah.
Lazio.
Oh, I thought you might have been right there.
He played for Lazio as well, didn't he? Just double check that. Okay. Wolfsburg.
He went from Wolfsburg to Man City. He started at Zelnica in Bosnia Herzegovina to police. Then a loan spell at Ustinad Labem, a Czech club. Wolfsburg, Man City, Inter. Roma on loan, Roma, and Inter Milan.
Fuck. So it's the worst performance ever by a champion.
Wow, 5-0.
I know.
5-5.
Yeah, but it's funny how it goes, though. David Bentley.
It's the way it goes, mate. It's the way it goes.
It's the way it is.
Marcus, you are now the lineal champion. Oh, we're doing the league table. Jimmy To Be is the one we need to consult here. But you are the title holder, but we have a league table.
I was never trouble in the top of the league table anyway.
Well, I've played a lot of games, though, so that does help. Yeah.
So you'd rather want points on the board than games in hand, don't you?
We had a campaign among listeners to remove Lars from the top of the table because he only played one game.
Yeah.
It's almost like test batting averages.
I spearheaded that campaign.
Yeah, right, minimum of 5,000 runs. Yeah.
Well, everybody, there we are. We've come to the end of our Friday. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show sponsored by Betway. The key is in the lock. It's been turned. The gate is open. And I've got a song choice recommendation for you.
Oh, here we go.
All you've got to do is listen to Fireball by Pitbull. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me.
Okay.
Okay. And that is the sound of your weekend, everybody.
See you then.
See you then. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you for Dujan Hunter Raja.
So this is fun, isn't it?
It is. I'm a fireball. Lots of love.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.